Remember in our sermon spice, we asked God for how many souls?
300
we're going to ask, but what was our goal? Was it one?
Oh.
Was it one?
One soul.
Has God already answered our prayer?
He's already done it.
Amen. He's already. Suppose we would ask for 20.
We got the dare and faith to go after, He'll do it.
Do it 20.
He'll do it.
Wow.
All we got to do is ask and we shall receive.
Amen. Amen. God's on a roll. this is good. This is good. Are y'all excited to be here?
Amen.
I am. So in your Bibles, you know, we're going to be talking this morning about Adam and Eve. We're laying foundations. And we've been in, this is going to be, I think, lesson 11, looking at laying the foundations. And in this year, we're in a 48 lesson series that we're going to reach out so that we can build a foundation. We're going to lay one stone on another stone, and we started with God and the Holy Spirit and the angels and the devil and Adam and Eve, and now we're there in the garden, and they've already gone in and they went in and they messed up, and they're going to get kicked out. So what I'd like for us to do is to begin our reading in chapter 3, beginning with verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living, in Genesis 3:20. And because she was the mother of all living. Also, for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become one like us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the garden, or to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." Now, looking inside of this, we are building on those foundations that we're going to be asking God. And I kind of like to begin with thinking about a new day that God provided. Isn't that neat? God provided something special. And one thing that God did, God provided clothes. Hey, that's a good thing. Can you imagine Benny coming this morning with fig leaves only? No, I can't even imagine that. Okay, so what we don't want to do, we want to know that God provided. But as we're looking back, if God, now think about last week. Now, I got to test your mind. I got to stretch it out a little bit. If God already knew the answers, why did He call out to Adam and Eve and ask them questions? That's right. So they realized, so they could voluntarily say, "God, we messed up." Now, that's what's happening today. God still is allowing us, He'll call out to us, but we got to respond to Him. Secondly, why is everyone today accountable to God for what they've done? Huh? That's right. God created you. God created you, and He holds you responsible because you are His creation. So therefore, number three, who did God promise to send? Oh, yeah, the deliverer. And a famous quote came in from Frank's Pawn Shop. It says, "We're in the delivery room waiting for the deliverer." I thought that was good. And folks, that's what we do. We're waiting for the deliverer to come on the scene and think about it. So why did God ask, what did God ask the deliverer to do? Destroy the works of the devil. Don't you remember last week that guy putting his foot on his head? Ah, I would like that to have been my foot and that been Satan's head. I would like to put 179 pounds on his head, like we did Landon's foot last week. Okay? I would like to have seen that element being crushed out. Now, how did God show Adam and Eve that He was merciful and gracious? That's it. He didn't kill them. And He didn't send them to eternity of hell. He gave them the opportunity to live on this earth and to come to know God. He gave them opportunity. Merciful He didn't give them what they deserved. Grace, He gave them what they didn't deserve. And that was grace. What are some of the things that we see today that are a result of Adam and Eve's sin? Yeah. And all these kind of things happen. I talked to one of the local men today, Lowndes County Sheriff's Department. I said, are things really getting worse, or is that just the newspaper blowing it up? And he says, oh, no. He said, things are getting worse. And so we see the result of what's happening because of Adam and Eve. So today we begin to think, God provided clothing for Adam and Eve. And here we go. The Scripture says in chapter 3, verse 7, and remember, keep your Bible handy. I'm going to read it off the screen. You can read it out of your book so you can underline it. Understand it. Feel it. Let it be a portion. Because sometime God's going to speak to you out of Scripture, and we won't even know what it is, but you're staying there with it. Then He opened the eyes of both of them. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. After they did what? After they ate the fruit, okay? After they disobeyed God, their eyes were open and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. This is what was happening. Man, all of a sudden, he messed up. And when he messed up, he tried to cover up. And that's what happens. When people disobey God, they want to run and hide. They want to do the best they can do. I want to cover it up. I messed up, but I can get out of this mess. How many times have people said that? They can really get themselves out of the mess. So they cover it up and they put these little leaves. Man's messed up. Man's messed up, and we're going to see man's cover up right there. Some of my little slides are off a little bit today, so if y'all get some in the dark, I will interpret that to you. Man's mess up and then man's cover up. He tried to cover up with leaves. What are you trying to cover up today? Are you trying to cover up something, think that nobody hears, nobody knows, God doesn't see, God doesn't care? Listen, fig theology, don't get it. Because what we need to know, why do you think God refused the covering Adam and Eve made? What did they make? Salam, what did they make? You remember? Fig leaves. Yeah, fig leaves. And why did God say that's not good enough? Hey, it was man's way. Man's always trying to do it. Man's always trying to get this thing together. I can figure it out. I can do this thing. I don't need God. I know I messed up. Man's attempt to cover up. It'll never work. It'll never work. Because man continues to cover himself up. And how does he try to cover up? Self-improvement. How many books have we read? Religious acts. How many times do you have to go to church? How many prayers do you have to pray? How many good works do you have to do? How many of the Ten Commandments do you have to do so that you can get over there and you can be with God? And people are trying to do the cover up. They're trying to do that. They're trying to say, okay, I can put a fig leaf on and I'll be all right. God says, that's not going to work. Man's mess up, man's cover up, but God's clean up. God had a definite clean up. And His clean up was what? He covered them. He put clothing on them. But when you think about the covering that He put on them, the Scripture says in chapter 3, verse 21, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. Who did the clothing? God did it. God loved them enough that He put the clothing on them, because what they were attempting to do was not going to get it. It was not acceptable. And many people who are trying to work their way to heaven and trying to be right with God just by their own manly attempts, it's just not good enough. Something had to happen. An animal had to die because of man's sin. You know, death had not entered into the world before this. There was no death. And then man disobeyed God. And what happened? Death entered into the world. Death entered the world because of sin. And God provided with acceptable clothing. Acceptable. That's what He did. And what was that? God's provision requires the blood to be acceptable. Somebody, someone had to die. That is true today. That's true today. We try to cover ourselves up with all kinds of works, but the only thing that's going to wash us is the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. So as we think beyond this, we see that God gave us grace. And grace is God giving to us what we don't deserve. And mercy is God withholding from us what we do deserve. Grace, giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy, God withholding from us what we do deserve. And Adam and Eve both experienced this. So the Scripture teaches us that God put Adam and Eve out of the garden, away from the tree of life. Genesis 3:22. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground for which he was taken. Can you imagine that? Can you just feature leaving the garden? And who put him out? Was God being mean? No, he wasn't. God's not being mean. He did it because he loved them. So what did Adam and Eve know before they disobeyed? Y'all remember? What did Adam and Eve know? Adam and Eve only knew good things. Did they know anything of death? Sorrow? Crying? Did they know anything of good food? Oh, yeah. They knew it all. They had it all. That was good. What they knew before they disobeyed was something good. But what did Adam and Eve discover after they disobeyed? And you know what one word really comes to my mind, what they discovered? It's the one word that's going to stop a lot of people from asking this question. Would you like to call on the name of the Lord? What's that one word? Fear. Fear. They discovered fear after they disobeyed God. Where are you? I was afraid. Fear. And you see, fear is not, man, that don't need to be in the vocabulary. So therefore, why did God kick them out of the Garden of Eden? And he kicked them out. Let me help you out a little bit there. God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden because, you see, they were in a sinful condition. They had sinned, they were separated, they were dying. And how would you like to have a cancer forever and ever and ever? No. God loved them enough not to let them live forever in that state of separation from Him. God was going to provide a way. God loved them. So God sent them out of the garden. And when He did, God put a cherubim, a flaming sword, at the end of the east of the garden to keep Adam and Eve from the tree. So, verse 24 says, "So He drove out the man. He placed the cherubim on the east of the Garden of Eden with a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life." Whatever was going to happen, God says, "Look, it's not going to happen. You're not going to live that way. I'm not going to allow you to live that way." So, He had a cherubim, huge angel, flaming sword. Do you think Adam wanted to go up against him? Would you want to go up against one of God's people? No. But He put him there because He loved them. And He said, "There's only one way. You're going out. There's no way in the world I'm going to allow you to have that sin which has so marred you and so corrupted your body and so engulfed you. There's no way I'm going to allow you to come back in need of the tree of life and live forever. No way. No way." So if God's not going to do that, what we're going to see here, God is the one who's going to give us life. And when He gives us life, it's like this, found in Genesis 4. It says, "Now Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, 'I've acquired a man from the Lord.'" Celeste was here. Imagine that on this picture. I didn't know she was going to be here this morning, but that's two of my daughters up there, you know, and so much. And they're ready to deliver life. Who gives us this life? God does. And you know what? Eve knew it was from God. He knew that all life, God. And Eve got excited about this because she said, "I have acquired something from the Lord, this life." We know life comes from God. Psalm 100, verse 3 says, "Know the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." So, Scott, who made you? God did it. Any doubts about that? No doubt about that. Acts 17, 25, Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. The reason why Mr. Bill is here this morning, it's because God gave him life and breath. Is that right? Absolutely right. And so therefore, he is here today. He's got a few pains, but you know what? He's here today, and he's got life, he's got breath, and all the things that we receive, we come from God. Every good and every perfect gift comes from God. So, have you received anything good from God? Yes, you have. So just think about it. It comes from him. Now, Cain and Abel were both born outside of the garden. Now, that was a trip, wasn't it? Genesis 4:2, then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the soil in the ground. So, think about this. Cain and Abel were both born outside of the garden. Why? Why do you suppose that happened? Oh, by the way, let me throw this in. This is another one of our grandchildren up there. This is my son, Lee, who's in the air. Now he's headed toward Haiti on a mission trip. I just thought I had to throw that in. I mean, most grandparents and most, you know, we have our list of our pictures of those people. And so, therefore, they get the special time today. So, born. But now, did they have a choice? Think about some of the questions that come along there. Why didn't Cain and Abel live in the Garden of Eden? They disobeyed, and God kicked them out because God loved them. Did Cain and Abel have any choice whether they were going to live in the garden or not? This begins to get down to the nitty-gritty, folks. We're moving toward a real point this morning. So they didn't have any choice of where they were going to be born. And did you know there's no such thing as an illegitimate child? There's illegitimate parents. But there's no such thing as an illegitimate child. That child didn't have a choice in where that child was going to be born. Neither did Cain and Abel. They didn't have a choice. But I'm going to get kind of down on the little tough right here, because there's some harsh reality. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as one man sinned, entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Think about that just for a moment. One man, what was his name? Adam. Adam sinned and he entered into the world. Death came into the world as a result of Adam. And thus death spread to all men because all men have what? What about the women? Okay, they qualify too. All have sinned. So now, sin passed from Adam to the whole human race. So how many people are born with sin? Now, wait a minute. Remember that little cute baby that you were holding in your arms? Is that child born with sin? The whole human race has the sin nature. When given the opportunity, they will sin. Every child born in the world through Adam, born with sin. Now, if this is true, and it is, we're asking us this week to go out and ask, or this month and ask 300 people, would you like to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus? How many people do you suppose need that? You got it. Because the fact about the matter is, we're broken. We're broken. Hey, Stallone, come here, buddy. You remember this?
I do.
Yeah. Is it broken? Yeah. Is it dead? Does it know it? Okay, we know it's dead, don't we? Those leaves on the end, are they kind of finally beginning to drop a little bit? Yeah, that's kind of the way it is, isn't it? You know, that's what sin does to us. We get separated from the source and we lose life. And then eventually, we're going to begin to turn colors, dry up, wither, and dead. There's only one solution to this. You know what that is? Connect back to the source, and that's Jesus. Thank you for your help. So, you know, we think about this. How many people do you know is just like this? But you look at them. And they don't turn. Last night we were going over some of the pictures. We're going down to El Salvador and to a little community called Monterey, and we're going to build houses there. But they had some pictures of the people that were down there. We're going to build these houses, probably about 6 by 12, something like that. And it's going to be just a 10 walls with wood. And that's where these people are living there. And some of the pictures were there. And you see these the father and the couple of kids. And then they point out, one of them says, you know, that's one of the gang members. That's one of the leader's gang members. Did you know what? When you're looking at those pictures, did you know everybody looks the same? Just to look at somebody, you wouldn't know. There were no thousands of tattoos all over them or nothing like that. They were just looked, dressed like everybody else. And yet they were connected. They were separated from the source of life, and they were connected. And they're actually dead. Don't even know it. We've got people who are broken. We've got people who are hurting. And people who need to know the Lord Jesus. Because this sin passed from Adam to the whole universe. And all of Adam's descendants are sinners. Does that leave anybody out? Me? Did that get everybody? I got us all. That got us all. That we've all passed along and sinners. And so therefore, here's the bad news. Here's some harsh reality. Descendants of Satan. John 8:44. You are of your father the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. For he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him when he speaks. He speaks as a lie. He speaks of his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Wait a minute. Did you know that your neighbor is a child of the devil? Did you know that your neighbor... father, if they're not born again, is the devil. And so we started asking ourselves, why is this stuff going on here in Lowndes County? Why is crime increasing? It's because they're a chip off the old block. If their father is the devil, if they are children of disobedience, what do you expect them to do like? Do they have a conscience? Yes, they got a conscience, but their nature is leading them down this path. Did Cain and Abel have a choice what family they'd be born in? We already said that, no. So what we want to know is, here's a harsh reality. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, he says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the air, in the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience." The word disobedience is the word covered up. You can look it up. Sons of the devil. Harsh reality. Boy, let me shock you just for a moment. My granddaughter, who is so precious, before Christ comes into her life, is what? Yeah. That's horrible. You walk up to me and you tell me your granddaughter's a child of the devil, I'm liable to deck you. But you would be telling the truth. That's horrible. People don't want to hear the truth, do they? You see the work that we got to do, folks? Adam chose to follow Satan. And so it's followed all the way down the line. No matter how loving and kind and boy, we love these children. But these children, 1 John 3:8 says, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So what are the characteristics of the devil? Look, it's happening right now. Harsh reality. What did the deliverer come to do? Destroy the works of the devil. People who are sinning, living in sin, disobedient to the Word of God, what are they showing forth? Characteristics of their father, and their father is the devil. So anytime you practice sin, who are you acting like? That stinks, folks. That really stinks. Disobedience led us down this path. And that, you know what? A lot of people don't see this, hear this, understand it, but you know it's the truth. You know Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. You know there was purpose in the Son of God. And you know that the devil has sinned from the beginning, and all those who sin are acting like the devil, and you know it. But do we want to overlook it? Do we want to sidestep? Or do we want to say, I don't want to get involved in it? Adam chose to follow Satan. And so he has the whole family. Who are the descendants of Satan? 1 John 3:10. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor he who does not love his brother. Wait a minute. You're telling me this guy that walked down the aisle and he shook my hand and we baptized him in the water, and now he's walking out and he's living the way of the world. You're telling me he's what? Yeah, I'm telling you he's a child of the devil. Because when Christ comes into the life, in the children of God and the children of the devil, they're going to be made manifest. Listen, folks. We can cover it up any way we want to. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Is that clear? And so therefore, if they don't practice righteousness, they're not a child of God, then they are a child of the devil, and we know ultimately that they are broken. Do they know they're broken? Probably not. They look pretty good. Maybe rough around the edges. They look pretty good. You can't tell them out of a crowd. You can't tell them out of a bunch. But they are children of the devil. We've got to know something. We've got to do something. And what is that? God provided a way. God provided a way. And we've seen this. We've walked through the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We've seen that God's created angels, both good angels and some good angels turned to be bad angels. Followed Lucifer. We saw that He gave us Adam and Eve. And now Cain and Abel and Seth are being born. God has a way planned. We've got to follow that way. We've got to follow that way. Can you do it on your own? Will thick theology get you there? Not going to do it. So what do we got to do? We got to be covered by the blood. We've got to be covered by the death. We've got to be covered by the covering that God gives us. And God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. And then when we receive this life, then we live it. We profess the name of Jesus Christ. No longer can we have big theology. It just doesn't work. Got to have the blood. Let's pray together. Father, there's been a lot of harsh reality this morning. We know that You've prepared a way. And we know, God, that You love us. And we know, God, that through Jesus Christ there is hope. But there are so many people who are around us that are broken away from the source of life, and they need to be connected. Father, there'll be those this morning in a group like this that have been snatched away, and now they're reflecting the characteristics of Satan, which could very well be a revealing fact that they are living after their father, the devil. And the only hope for these people is repentance and faith. So, Father, I'm praying now. I am praying, Father, for those who are here this morning in whom you have shown the reality of the harsh situation in which we live in because of what happened many years ago. Help us to see the love of God, the grace and the mercy that you gave Adam and Eve by not killing them on the spot, but by giving them time. Now, Lord, the challenge is before us. We know the harsh reality, but we also know the truth. Help us to change by being covered by Jesus Christ, letting God cover us with His grace, letting God help us make good decisions. So this morning, many people need to make a decision for you. It's your Holy Spirit that reveals this truth. We can say it, but only your Holy Spirit can drive it home. And we believe your Holy Spirit is at work right now, seeking to make changes in people's lives. So now, Lord, let there be a time of repentance. Let there be a time of praise. Let there be a time of celebration. Let there be a recommitment to share the good news and live the life of Christ so that other people might know life. Thank you for sending the deliverer who destroyed and is destroying the works of the devil. His name is Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. And now, God, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we will share together in a time a familiar song sung in a different way. It's going to last a long time. It's going to last 5 minutes. 5 minutes is an eternity for some people. But it's in this time that we're going to ask people to make decisions for Christ. This 5 minutes may be the most important 5 minutes of your life, in which you come to that point in your life in which you say, you know, I'm broken. I'm broken. And I want Jesus to heal me, fix me, change my life. In these minutes, we're going to give you opportunity to sing, praise, go to the altar, give your life to Christ. I'd love to talk with you. What is God wanting you to do this morning, right now? Let's stand together as we're going to share in this moment.
Other like a feather, bind my wandering heart to thee. From to wander, Lord, I feel led. From to leave, oh God, I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. I was lost in utter darkness.
Our Father, because your grace is with us, we will never be alone. Father, we come now with joy in our heart, knowing something many people don't know. And that's the grace of God at work in our lives. And now, God, you are giving us the privilege to go out and tell other people. And invite them to come close to you. Oh Lord, what a privilege this week, God. 300, Lord, we give to you. Save those to whom you will, but we, your servants, will be faithful in asking. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.